the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, we'll look at the 30th chapter. And we'll read the first 7 verses. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 1 through verse 7. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord. They take counsel, but not of me, and they cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. That walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be a help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beasts of the south, into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper, the fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. It's our purpose tonight to go into the details of what we've just read, but to use this to formulate the thought of the message. This, of course, was a time of political struggle for Israel. A time of great spiritual decline in Israel's history. The enemy, Assyria, was growing in power. They were increasing in their conquests, and they presented an immediate threat to the nation. Our text is a rebuke of Israel for, first of all, attempting to make an alliance with Egypt in hopes to ward off the Assyrian threat. It is also a rebuke of Israel for taking matters into their own hands. It is stated that such an attempt was made without consulting the Lord. And all of this proceeded from a rebellious spirit. And all of this would result in woe. Very first word of the text, woe, speaks of great misery and distress and regret. The fact that they did not consult the Lord and took matters into their own hands, we see from verse 3 that this would bring shame, humiliation, that it would bring confusion, that is uncertainty and perplexity, and that Egypt just could not provide the help that Israel needed. We see all of these truths that we've just stated in these first 3 verses. Notice again in verse 1, woe. That is, what they were doing was going to lead to woe. Rebellious children. What they were doing was from a spirit of rebellion. What was it that they were doing? Well, they took counsel, but not of me. They sought counsel outside of the Lord. And God said, woe. And God said, this proceeds from a rebellious spirit. It also goes on to say that they walked down into Egypt. That That is, they're going to Egypt to get help. But they do so, and they have not asked at my mouth. That is, they didn't seek my guidance. They did this on their own. Whoa. Where does this come from? It comes from, again, a rebellious spirit. They go down to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. We see all of this in verse 3 would lead to their shame and their confusion. There are many examples in God's Word warning us about taking matters into our own hands. We have precedent set throughout the Word of God that when you and I take matters into our own hands, it does not work. We see this all through the Bible. Think of Abraham and Ishmael. Abraham took matters into his own hands. The result was Ishmael. Think of David at Ziklag. Notice, if we turn over there in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Well, let's go to chapter 26, I believe. Chapter 27. 1 Samuel chapter 27. We don't have time to go into this, but verse 1 says, David said in his heart. What did he say? He began to reason with his heart. What he said was totally false, contrary to what God's Word had already told David. He said, I'll one day perish at the hands of Saul. Coming to that conclusion, he took matters into his own hands. The results were disastrous. 1 Samuel chapter 30, they returned home to Ziklag. Everything's gone. Everything's gone. And after the people were ready to stone him, and certainly everybody wanted to pursue the Philistines and regain their wives. And but verse 8 says, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? David had learned. 1 Samuel 26, he took matters into his own hands with disastrous results. You say, well, David, of course you should pursue. They've stolen your wives. But he had enough sense take the matter to the Lord. We go on in our text in Isaiah chapter 30. And after this rebuke of taking counsel but not of me, going down into Egypt without asking the guidance of God, he says at the end of verse 7, after he states in verse 7 that the help of the Egyptians would be vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. Their strength is to sit still. God's people find what they need not in our own devisings, not by seeking the help of man, but by being still before the Lord. By being still before God and waiting. I want to speak this evening on be still and wait. Be still and wait. Every time I preach on this subject throughout my ministry, people get angry because it goes against every fiber of people's being. But it is stressed throughout the Word of God. God has been teaching me for for 36 years the importance of being still and waiting. And I'm still learning. But today, I see the importance more and more every single day of being still and waiting upon God. The importance of being still and waiting upon God cannot be overstated. This is seen from the fact that this exhortation is repeated. We do not have the time tonight. We could preach a series of messages on this subject. We do not have the time to look at all the verses that talk about waiting upon God, about being still and waiting. But I wonder tonight how many people really believe what Isaiah said. Their strength is to sit still. In the context, they had taken matters into their own hands without consulting the Lord. They sought the help of the Egyptians. Isaiah concludes by saying the help of the Egyptians, it's all vain, it's to no purpose. Their strength is to sit still. Sit still and wait. What is it to be still? What does that mean? What does it mean to be still and to wait upon the Lord? There are many, many misconceptions concerning what it means to be still and wait upon God. Many equate being still and waiting upon God with passiveness. They equate it with idleness. But all you have to do is read what God says upon the subject, and it's very easily seen that we're not talking about passiveness. We're not talking about idleness. Being still and waiting upon God is not idleness. It is not resignation from all activity. For being still and waiting upon God is an activity. It is an activity. You tell people to wait upon God, and many times their response is, "You mean to tell me I'm not supposed to do anything? Don't you realize waiting upon God is doing something?" Then most people don't realize that. They do not realize. They equate it with do nothing, with passiveness and idleness. Many equate being still and waiting upon God with trying to avoid the battles. If you be still and wait upon God, you'll be accused of many things. But being still and waiting upon God is not avoiding the battles. It's using wisdom in approaching the battles. Oh, that David had learned that in 1 Samuel 26. Ziklag would have been spared. Many equate being still and waiting upon God as a lack of concern. Well, they don't care. They will say such things as, "I care too much to do nothing." Well, first of all, once again, you have a misconception of what it is to be still and wait upon God. It's not doing nothing. "But I care too much to do nothing. I care so much that I have to at least try to do something." What a foolish statement. Rather than looking at it from another perspective, "I care too much to act without the Lord's leading." Now that's caring. "I care too much to act without the Lord leading me, without the Lord telling me what to do." People often confuse outward activity, busyness, with service to the Lord. But think about it. If your activity, if your busyness is not what the Lord wants, Is that serving the Lord? That's rebellion. And that's what he accuses them of here in Isaiah chapter 30. If your activity and your busyness is not according to the Lord's will, how dare anyone say that they're serving God? If you're serving God, you have to do it God's way. You have to do what God wants. And that requires being still and waiting upon the Lord. Being still and waiting upon God. So what is it? Well, it's first of all, to be still. Quiet yourself. Quiet yourself. You get into a fit of anger, you begin that, you better just take time and quiet yourself. Quiet yourself. Focus your attention upon God. Be still and wait upon the Lord. You know how much disaster would be avoided if people would just quiet themselves, just calm down, and focus upon the Lord. To be still and to wait upon God is to look intently for communication from Him. We are waiting for word from Him. Nothing wrong with that. We read in Proverbs 8, verse 34. And we're going to refer to a lot of scriptures tonight and look at a lot of scriptures. But we read there in Proverbs 8, 34, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." Waiting at the posts of my doors. To wait upon God is to search for God. It is to seek the face of God. All the problems that Abraham would have avoided if he would have just sought the face of God. To be still and wait upon God is to desire Him. It's to delight in the Lord. It is to depend upon Him. It is to be devoted to Him. To wait upon God means that we make His rule or His will our rule. We don't want to act outside of His will. So we wait. It is to make His will the rule of every action of ours. So much so that we will not act without it. Well, I'm not sure if this is the Lord's will or not, but I'm doing it anyway. That's a fool. That's foolish. That's a spirit of rebellion. And it brings woe. It is expressing absolute confidence in God's timing, God's help in difficult times. To be still and wait upon God is submission to who God is. It is submission to the fact that He knows and He's able. To be still and wait upon God is to bring your entire life under God's umbrella of authority and direction. It is to take time to isolate yourself with God. Their strength is to sit still. To be still and to wait upon God is a test of faith. It is a trying of our faith. I believe it's the greatest test of faith that there is. You look at all the trials that come into your life, and they are tests of our faith. Every trial is a test of our faith. But even more than that trial being a test of our faith is the ability to wait upon God during the time of trial. Not to act until God says to act. That tests faith. That's a greater trial than the trial itself. The truth is, the reason folks have trouble waiting is because they have an unbelief problem. According to Isaiah 30, they have a rebellious problem. With the Egyptians pursuing, and Israel hemmed in, God's instruction to them in Exodus 14 and verse 13 was, "Fear ye not. Don't be afraid." The very next words, "Stand still." The enemy is pursuing. And Moses was to tell the children of Israel, "Stop. Stand still. Everybody, just stop and be still and see." We'd see a lot of things. We'd stand still and wait and see the salvation of the Lord. Had the Israelites taken matters into their own hands, they were very, very limited as to what they could have done. They could have continued to go forward, and I don't believe that God would have opened the Red Sea, because it's God's timing. They would have drowned. They could go backwards right into the hands of the Egyptians. Or they could scatter to the right or to the left, and either way they would be captured. There wasn't anywhere to go. They were hemmed in. And God said, "Stand still. Stand still." Keep in mind, their strength is to sit still. As they were standing still, I believe God was strengthening them. Strengthening them for what? Strengthening them for what He would tell them to do next. We find strength in standing still. Strength to do what God will have us to do. The next thing He tells them in verse 15 is go forward. And I believe that God allowed the Egyptians to get as close as they possibly could without capturing any of the Israelites. And then Moses said, "Okay, folks, it's time to move." So while they were standing still, things got worse. I have people all the time telling me, "Brother Dan, I tried waiting and it got worse." Yes, that's what the Bible teaches. You shouldn't expect any different. That's called a test of faith. While you're standing still and the enemy gets closer and closer and closer and your whole world seems to be falling apart, it takes faith to continue to wait. Believing that God will tell me what to do when it's time. It takes faith. Doesn't take faith to run backwards or to go forward or go to either side. That's taking matters in your own hands. It takes faith. God said, "Go forward." It was time. It was time. It was time to move forward. Never underestimate the importance of God's timing. Never. While the Israelites were standing still, again, Things have gotten worse. Being still before God and waiting upon God is difficult. I believe it was very difficult for those Israelites to stand still and watch those Egyptians get closer and closer and closer. They have little children. Somebody do something. My kids are going to get hurt. And Moses says, stand still. Why, Moses, you fool, I care too much for my children to stand still. I'm going to go forward. It would have been disastrous. Stand still. Stand still. Don't underestimate the importance of God's timing when He says, go forward. Being still, again, was difficult. It's difficult because it goes against our instinct. It's difficult because while we're standing still, our carnal nature taunts us. Do something. You've waited long enough. Do something. You are doing something. You're standing still. Satan challenges us while we're waiting upon God. The enemies of God seek to provoke us while we're waiting upon God. And many well-meaning God's people seek to get us to move and to take matters into our own hands. Again, to be still and to wait upon the Lord is a test. It is a challenge. Hear the words of David in Psalm 69 and 3. He said, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried, mine eyes fail, while I wait for my God. Was he doing nothing? No, he was crying. He was pleading with God. So much so, he said, my throat is dry. Mine eyes fail. I can't cry anymore while I wait upon the Lord. No matter how difficult the situation might be, we read in Lamentations 3 and verse 26, it is good. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You know what it takes to stand still? It takes faith. But it takes a whole bunch of spirituality. When God says stand still, it takes a spiritual person to stand still and wait upon God. Everything in our society is against standing still. Everything in our society is against waiting. I don't wait for nothing. Well, you'd better wait on God, or you will ruin your life. You will bring woe upon your life. So we've seen briefly what it is to wait, very briefly. Secondly, how are we to be still and wait upon the Lord? It requires faith. It requires trust. It requires complete yielding. When God told those Israelites, stand still, the Egyptians didn't stop. And it required that those Israelites yield to God's instruction. Yield to the fact that God knows. God knows. Yield to the fact that God knows more than you do. He knows more. And if God says, be still, you're a fool if you move. Be still. Be still. It's yielding to the fact that God knows. It's yielding to the fact that God is able. It's yielding to the fact that God's timing is best. To be still and to wait upon God is to know. And herein lies the problem, because most don't know it. And without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, we can do nothing. Therefore, it would be wise to wait for the Lord. But what are we to do while we wait? Again, many people equate waiting with just standing there twiddling your thumbs. That's not what the Bible says. Just lounging back, doing nothing. No, to wait upon God, we're to do so prayerfully. Notice in Psalm 25, "And if you wait prayerfully, you will know when to move." But in Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5, notice his prayer, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation," or deliverance. "On thee do I wait all the day." While we're waiting, we're to pray, "Lord, show me." What are we waiting for? We're waiting for His ways. Because we don't want to act in our ways. So while we're waiting, we're praying, "Lord, show me thy ways. Teach me thy paths. Lead me." And then he stresses his assurance and confidence, "For thou art the God of my salvation. I am content to wait on thee all the day long. I will wait until you do show me." Don't ever get the attitude, "I've waited long enough. I've got to do something." Don't you think God knows? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You can't fix it. There's nothing you can do other than bring about disaster. So we wait prayerfully. Notice, he waits on the Lord all the day. The waiting prayerfully is not determined by our time frame. "All right, Lord, I'm going to wait for an hour. And Lord, if you don't do anything in an hour, then I'm going to take that to mean that it's by your will for me to do such and such." Oh, you poor thing. How foolish to put God on your time frame. Don't you think He knows? To put God on a schedule? Don't you think He knows? And people will brag, "Well, I told God if He doesn't show me in a week or 2 weeks or a month, then I take that to be His will that I'm to do such and such." You show me that in God's Word. That's foolish. You're putting God on your time frame. I mean, who do you think you are? To put God on your time frame. God's time is best. Elijah and the widow woman at Zarephath. Elijah watched the brook Cherith go down and down and down until eventually it dried. But if Elijah would have got up and left before that, reasoning, "The brook is drying and I'm going to die of thirst. I've got to do something. I'm going to head to Zarephath." Guess what? When he got to Zarephath, the widow woman wouldn't have been there. But he waited. And God said, "Okay, Elijah, move! Go down to Zarephath. And there is a widow woman, and she'll sustain thee." God's timing. God works at all ends. Don't underestimate the importance of God's time. In fact, you and I ought to strive to live in God's time frame. We ought to strive to live according to God's timetable. When God says sit still, we sit still. When God says move, we move. That's being on God's time frame. So we're to wait prayerfully. Well, I'm not going to sit here and do nothing. You're not supposed to. You're to pray. You're to pray. You're to pray all day. You're to pray the next day until God shows you. You just keep on praying. We are to wait believing His Word. And again, while you're waiting and praying, things most of the time will get worse. We are to wait believing on His Word. Psalm 130 verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. He believed. You wait, you believe that God's time is best. You wait and believe that God is able. We're to wait with full assurance. We read in Psalm 33 and verse 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. And believing He is our help and believing He is our shield, I think I'll just wait till He says move. We're to wait with expectation. Psalm 62 and 5 says, My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. You don't put God on a time schedule, but your expectation is from God. And in Micah 7 and verse 7, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And you don't put Him on a time schedule as to when He is, by what time He must hear, or by what time He must respond. You're not dealing with man. You can talk to man and you can say, okay, if you don't respond to such and such an offer by 8 o'clock tonight, the offer's off. You can do that with man. You can't do that with God. God's not a man. He's God. And we're on His time frame. And God says sit still, and we sit still until He says move. We're to wait single-mindedly. Again, Psalm 62 and 5 says, My soul, wait thou only upon God. We are to wait with strength and courage. We read in Psalm 27 and verse 14, Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. It takes courage to wait upon God. Because as you're waiting, again, things might get worse. And it takes courage. This is a test of faith. We're to wait patiently. Psalm 37 and 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. That is, wait enduringly for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. But wait patiently. Do not fret, but wait. Be quiet and wait for the Lord. Psalm 40, verse 1, the psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord. We are to wait obediently. We read in Psalm 37 and 34, wait in the Lord and keep His way. That is, while we're waiting, we're to do what God would have, we're to do what we know God would have us to do. While we're waiting for whatever it is that we're waiting for. We'll wait obediently. So you see, most people have no clue what it is to wait upon God. It's not passiveness. It's not doing nothing. I mean, who's doing the most? The individual who has a lot of activity running around, they're going to fix everything. They haven't consulted with God, but they're going to take everything in their hand, and then there's the individual that's praying. Which one would you prefer? I'll take the individual praying. I'll take that individual every single time. Every single time. Wait upon the Lord. Thirdly, why? Why we are to be still. and wait upon God. He is the God of providence. By that, God controls all actions, God controls all reactions, God controls everything. He is the God of providence. Notice in Jeremiah 14, verse 22. Jeremiah 14, verse 22. Are there many among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Can any of you cause rain? Then I guess you need to wait for the Lord to send it. Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou He, O Lord our God? Therefore, we will wait upon Thee. Because You're the one that controls all things. Therefore, it just seems sensible. We'll wait for You to do whatever it is You're going to do. For Thou hast made all these things. We're to wait because He is the God of providence. He is the God of salvation, the God of deliverance. Psalm 25 and verse 5, Thou art the God of my salvation. On Thee do I wait all the day. He is the giver of blessing. Notice in Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verses 15 and verse 16. The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Since all blessings come from God, we need to wait. We need to wait. But you see, first of all, we have to believe that God is the God of providence. We have to really believe that God is the God of deliverance. We have to really believe that God is the God of all blessings. Believing those things, we'll wait for Him. We'll wait for Him. Waiting upon God is the proper place of the creature. Psalm 104. Psalm 104. Verse 27. These wait all, speaking of creation, upon Thee. That's our proper place. Our proper place is to wait upon the Lord. There is deliverance with God. Trust my soul, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. Psalm 62 and verse 1. There is counsel in God. Notice in Psalm 106. Verse 13, they soon forget His works. They waited not for His counsel. That was the problem in Isaiah 30. They sought not counsel of God. Well, I know that this would be the thing to do. Perhaps that's so. Now there's another question. Is this the time to do it? Is this the time to do it? Well, that doesn't matter. You better read your Bible, because it does matter. Again, if Elijah would have left the brook Cherith early, the widow woman wouldn't have been there gathering sticks. Timing does matter. We're to wait because there's deliverance. We're to wait for His counsel. Well, I talked to brother so-and-so, and he said this is what I should do. I don't really care what Brother so-and-so said? What does God say? Well, he said I should do this and I ought to do it right now. Well, I would suggest you talk to God about that. There's counsel. There is no better counsel than God. So wait upon God. And it'll always be those individuals. Well, if I was you, I would do such and such. Well, first of all, you're not me. So that blows everything right there. And if you were me, you don't know, you still don't know what you would do because you don't know all the circumstances. So you still don't know. That's a foolish statement. It's a statement filled with pride and arrogance. There's one who does know, and that's God. And the wise individual will simply wait for his counsel. Just wait for his counsel. Well, I've been waiting, and he still hasn't said anything. You just need to keep waiting some more. Perhaps you're not waiting right. Perhaps you're not praying like you ought to, because you're to pray and wait. So there's deliverance with God. There's counsel with God. These are reasons that we should wait. There is help. There is protection. Psalm 33 and 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. He is our help and our protection. Therefore, we will wait for Him. He is my help. He is my shield. I don't want to get ahead of Him. I don't want to get behind Him. So I'll just wait for Him. He's my help and my shield. That's wisdom. There is inheritance for those who wait upon God. We read in Psalm 37 and verse 9, those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. There is a raising up and an establishing and a song in the heart comes from waiting upon God. Notice in Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Verses 1 through verse 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Don't ever lose patience with God. You're in trouble if you do. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. That tells me what He was doing while He was waiting. He was praying. He was crying unto God. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. There was a raising up. He set my feet upon a rock. He established me. Their strength is sitting still. Established my goings, and He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. There is strength in waiting for God. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 14. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, verse 31. There is strength in waiting upon God. And again, we have our text. Their strength is to sit still. Wait upon the Lord. This is where we find the goodness of God. Lamentations 3, verse 25 says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. What did we read in Isaiah 30 about those who went out without seeking the counsel of God? Woe! Big difference between woe and the goodness of God. Those who wait upon God find out that God is good. This is where we find God's best, by waiting upon the Lord. Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. In verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Oh, the blessings. When God says, be still, just stop, that's what you need to do. Well, when do I move? When God tells you to move. When God moves you. When you feel that if I don't move, God's going to kill me. You know, it's time to move. You may mean well, and I believe most do, who take matters into their own hands and act without seeking the Lord. But from Isaiah chapter 30, such action stems from pride, unbelief, and rebellion, and brings woe. Remember the words of Isaiah. Their strength is to sit still. That is in the context of the people going down to Egypt for help, taking matters into their own hands without seeking the counsel of God. They got in a hurry. And God says, wait. This is a lesson that every single child of God needs to learn. Many are not interested in learning it. They have no desire to wait upon the Lord. They have no intention of waiting upon God, not for more than 5 minutes. We are to wait. May I say, you may wait your lifetime. For certain things, you may wait your lifetime. But you wait, and you keep on praying, and you keep on being courageous and believing. And if it's going to happen, God has to do it. Don't try to save your children. You just wait upon God. You wait upon Him. They may never be saved, but you wait upon God. I guarantee you, if you try to save them, they're still not going to be saved. But you just wait. And you pray. And you pray. That's what we're to do while we're waiting. So don't have misconceptions about waiting. Because again, if you wait upon God, and someone says, well, what are we going to do? Or what are you going to do? Well, I'm waiting upon the Lord. Oh, you're going to be accused of all kinds of things. That's why you have to be courageous to wait upon God. Well, He doesn't care a thing about what happens. All He's going to do is wait upon God. Yep. And you can't improve on that. Wait upon the Lord. Oh, that we could see how many problems we would avoid, how much loss we would avoid, if we would have just waited. If we would have just waited for God. God help us to have the faith to sit still and wait. To sit still and wait upon the Lord. Because their strength is in sitting still. Do you believe that? Their strength is in sitting still. You see, God's people are very good at when something going to stir all the sheep up. They're very good at that. And God's sheep are easily stirred. It doesn't take much to stir a sheep. And it doesn't take much to get God's people stirred. Wait. Just wait. And while you're waiting, there will be somebody that comes along and stirs all the sheep up. But you just keep on waiting until God says move. And then when God says move, you don't hesitate. You move.